it's enormously satisfying to speak at a mall full of lesbian, gay, transgendered, and bisexual persons. You all look good to me.
I describe my musical style as traditional vocal jazz. I do add that flavor of lesbian identification.
Imagine if you take Stevie Wonder and then more contemporary stuff and you mix it together. It's kind of that vibe.
Humor cracks you up. And while you're cracked, we try to stick a little message in there before you close up again.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Lucia Chappelle. Gruesome massacre at Cape Town Gay Club leaves 9 dead, a fond farewell to a veteran activist, and electronica, folk humor, and scat from the audiophile. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Dean Elzinga.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending January 25th, 2003. A gruesome massacre at one of South Africa's oldest gay venues has left 9 men dead and another hospitalized. It's believed that 4 gang members were searching for 2 former employees when they invaded Sizzlers, variously described as a massage parlor and brothel, located in the Sea Point area of Cape Town. Most of the victims were discovered tied up with packing tape, shot in the head at close range, execution style, and also had their throats slit. 6 died there, and 3 died later in the hospital. The dead publicly identified so far are Gregory Berghaus, Sergio De Castro, Stephanus Fouché, Marius Meyer, Travis Reed, Warren Visser, and Sizzler's owner, Eric Otgar. Although the gay community has cooperated extensively with police, the investigation is proving difficult and police are saying little. South Africa's Lesbian and Gay Equality Project believes the attack may have been a hate crime and has set up an international victim assistance fund described at its website, www.equality.org.za. The Equality Project joined with the Gay and Lesbian Health Organization Triangle Project, the Sex Workers Education and Advocacy Task Force, and the African National Congress in arranging a public memorial service at a local Anglican church, where Cape Town's mayor was among those addressing a crowd of 300. The Gay and Lesbian Alliance, a national political party publicly rejected by most of South Africa's gay and lesbian activist groups, canceled its national convention scheduled to be held in Cape Town this week and said all members of its national executive body were leaving the Western Cape.
Gunmen also took aim this week against the lead sponsor of Colombia's bill to create registered partnerships for gay and lesbian couples, Senator Piedad Córdoba. She told reporters that as she was getting out of her car in Medellin, 4 men on 2 motorcycles shot at her. Córdoba believes it was an assassination attempt, stemming from her political opponents, but law enforcement officials are calling it an attempted robbery. In 1999, Córdoba was kidnapped by a right-wing group for 15 days. Colombia's president, Álvaro Uribe, often criticized by Córdoba, issued an executive order for her full protection by public security forces. The partnership bill is scheduled for debate in the upcoming legislative session.
The European Union advanced a step towards international recognition of gay and lesbian partnerships among its 15 member states. The European Parliament's Committee on Citizens' Freedoms and Rights, Justice and Home Affairs, known as LIBE, voted by a 4-3 margin to approve an expanded definition of family that includes gay and lesbian couples. The revised definition would appear in a draft directive proposed by the European Commission regarding the free movement of EU citizens among the member states. ILGA, the International Lesbian and Gay Association, has long been lobbying for the move, and the co-chair of its European body, Kurt Krickler, explained that this directive will be crucial for gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgender people throughout the European Union, in particular from those countries with some sort of legislation or practice recognizing same-sex couples. Today, they cannot take their status as a legally recognized couple with them when moving to an EU country without similar legislation. And an EU citizen married to or registered with a same-sex partner from a third country cannot even bring the partner, as their union is not recognized by these countries. In addition, the European Parliament last week narrowly approved a non-binding amendment to a human rights report that called on all the EU nations to extend full spousal rights to unmarried couples, including gay and lesbian couples. However, the EP defeated another proposed amendment calling for full equal marriage rights for same-gender couples, something only the Netherlands has granted so far.
Lithuania's justice minister this week announced that anticipated EU membership could require legal recognition of same-gender couples in that Baltic former Soviet state. At a news conference, Vytautas Markevičius said that eventually Lithuania will have to consider European Court of Human Rights rulings on the subject, while also suggesting the move will have to wait until society and lawmakers of the heavily Catholic country, in his words, are ripe for it.
The family status of gays and lesbians has been controversial as the Roman Catholic Church held its fourth triennial World Meeting of Families in Manila. The controversy began even before the meeting, as a group called Task Force Pride issued a statement that lesbi, gays, and transgenders are also family members and should be allowed to participate. The Catholic Bishops' Conference of the Philippines responded that they could do so, while noting that there would be no individual registrations for the meeting, only family registrations not open to same-gender couples. Among other groups speaking out before the meeting was Lagablab, a coalition of Filipino lesbian, gay, and transgender advocacy groups. Its statement said that, "The family, for a number of lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgenders, is where we first encounter prejudice and abuse. The silence of the church, the government, other social institutions, and the society in general speaks loudly how such hatred, abuses, and prejudice are condoned."
But Archbishop of Manila, Jaime Cardinal Sin, called the concept of gay and lesbian marriage a product of misguided independence, defending what he called the basic family structure of father, mother, and child, which he said was put into question by proponents of same-sex marriages. To the Philippines' leading national gay and lesbian civil rights coalition, Pro-Gay, the progressive organization of gays in the Philippines, Sin's remarks served to inflame the nation's anti-gay hatred. Pro-gay spokesperson Oscar Atadero told the BBC,
"The Catholic Church and the traditions are a big mountain that you cannot just ignore. Our economy is so backward, it's so dependent on agriculture. Young gay people cannot just become independent. We remain attached to our families even if we work abroad. That's how important families are to most Asians, gay or non-gay alike. If we Filipino gay activists say that we want same-sex partnerships, in fact, we would be helping the economy because that would legalize what we are doing for many years now, like supporting our own families of our brothers and sisters."
In heavily Catholic Croatia, a government move to recognize gay and lesbian couples under family law caused a firestorm of opposition in parliamentary debate this week. The government has proposed an inclusive amendment with respect to division of property when a couple breaks up. Even the parties of the governing coalition have not supported the move, and a member of one, the Peasants' Party, declared that homosexuals should be sent for psychological treatment to be taught to understand the attractiveness of the opposite sex. Conservatives from several parties denounced the idea of equal treatment for same-gender couples. But Croatian gay and lesbian activist groups, who held a press conference this week calling for legal protections from discrimination, remain hopeful that most members of parliament are not so intolerant and that the bill will eventually pass.
The Presbyterian Church, USA, has announced it will convene the first special assembly in its more than 200-year history to discuss enforcement of its ban on non-celibate gays and lesbians serving as clergy. The denomination's leadership had resisted some conservative members' call for the meeting, both because the ban itself has been highly divisive and because of finances. But a formal petition process forced their hand, and the meeting will be held in a month or two.
The U.S. federal government has extended unprecedented recognition to the lesbian partner of a victim of the terrorist attack on the Pentagon 16 months ago. Peggy Neff is believed to be the first lesbian or gay partner to receive an award from the Special Federal Compensation Fund, more than $550,000, an amount close to that awarded legal spouses. Her partner of 18 years, Sheila Hine, was a civilian management analyst for the Army. Neff wrote in her claim that, "Words cannot express what I have lost. She was my entire world and my soulmate, my closest confidant and best friend." The couple's case was also notable since, as a Virginia resident, Neff was rejected for state compensation funds, like those New York made available to partners of those who died at the World Trade Center. The head of the federal fund, Kenneth Feinberg, decided in her favor, although it's not yet clear if that in any way sets a precedent. The Human Rights Campaign's communication director, David Smith, said, "This is the first time that we're aware of that the federal government has specifically recognized that someone in a gay relationship should receive compensation for the loss of a partner." He attributed it in part to the efforts of the Lambda Legal Defense and Education Fund, which only this week made public Neff's acceptance letter dated late November.
And finally, some gay words from this week's Hollywood Foreign Press Association Golden Globe Awards. First, from openly gay Spanish filmmaker Pedro Almodovar, as he added a Best Foreign Film Globe to the awards he's reaped for Habla Con Ella, Talk to Her, which include Best Film and Best Director from the European Film Academy.
There is a small detail that struck me in the hotel that I'm living here. The note you hang on your door asking no one to enter your room, what it normally said, "Do not disturb," now it says "peace." I like the subtleness of this detail. The doors in my hotel are crying out for peace. I would also like to dedicate this award to everyone that fight for peace and to all that are not afraid to say so. Thank you.
And from openly gay producer Scott Rudin, as he accepted the Best Drama Globe for the much-honored Oscar contender The Hours, which features lesbi gay characters and is based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by open gay Michael Cunningham.
And I mostly want to thank John Barlow. Honey, wherever you are is where I want to be. Thank you so much.
That's News Wrap for the week ending January 25th, 2003. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Dean Elzinger.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
As dusk is falling, you'll want to have a sound mind when Ginger comes to stay. So stay tuned for some of the best in new queer music later in the program. The gay, lesbian, bi, and trans community has had to endure the loss of several stalwart voices in the last few months, like radical fairy Harry Hay, lesbian author and theorist Monique Wittig, queer journalist Sarah Pettit, and legal advocate Mary Dunlap. Longtime Los Angeles advocate Morris Kite died on January 19th at the age of 83. Although his career in the movement was not without controversy, Kite helped organize the West Coast's first gay pride march in 1970 and many other early protest actions. He was co-founder of the LA Gay and Lesbian Center, now the largest such facility in the world, and served on the city's Human Relations Commission for over 20 years. At the April 2000 Millennium March for Equality, Kite was among the senior activists brought forward to pass the torch to the next generation.
Greetings, brothers and sisters. I speak these days a lot before non-gay audiences. They found out that I was right, and so I'm acceptable to them. However, it's enormously satisfying to speak at a mall full of lesbian, gay, transgendered, and bisexual persons. You all look good to me. You all look free. You all look liberated. However, the Millennium March is exciting. This is the fourth such march on the Capitol. There was a march in 1987, one in 1993, one in 1979, and in 1985, I went to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to appear before the National Gay and Lesbian Pride Events Conference to present the idea of our dropping out and celebrating Stonewall 25 in New York in 1976. It was a thrilling event. It was international. We are everywhere. You all know that now. And marching in the streets of New York were people from all the countries of the world. This talk is directed at all of us. However, I particularly talk today to the youth, younger people among us. We fought for you, and we need a rest. And by your response, I can tell that you're ready, willing, and able to carry the torch, because work has to be done. Let me painfully take you back to the bad old days. Thank heavens you don't have to live through any of that. In 1968 and 69, psychiatrists said we were sick, and they lobotomized us and did electroconvulsive shock therapy, feeling that they could burn out of our brain our love, that our brain would just go blank and we would no longer be gay. They were wrong. And so we protested in New York and Washington, D.C., and in Los Angeles we had a civil disobedience at one of their conferences. In 1973, they took us off the sick list. So you're no longer sick. Before liberation, the church in all of its forms considered us sinful. So sinful that the church was not willing to send missionaries to convert us. They considered we were such spiritually defective persons that they wouldn't waste missionary time on me. We have done something about that. Our community has created a major church, the Metropolitan New Church. In Los Angeles in 1973, Beit Haim Hadashim was created, the first lesbian, gay, Jewish temple, and there are temples everywhere. Isn't it wonderful? The nuclear family, the family who we came from, considered us birth defects. We're not to judge them. They didn't have access to the information. They were told that we were inferior, and so they acted embarrassment and treated us as inferior. Now we have the National Gay and Lesbian Friends of Lesbians and Gays, and the families are learning, as society is learning, that we're okay. And so it's okay to love your family. It's wonderful if you can love your family. It's wonderful if you can be gay and lesbian and transgendered and bisexual in their presence. Education taught that we were abnormal. When I enrolled at Texas Christian University in Fort Worth, Texas in 1937, I rushed to the books to find out who I was. And I found a 900-page book called Abnormal Psychology. And half the pages describe me. We don't have those books anymore. Universities, colleges, all over have gay and lesbian studies programs. It's all right to study us. It's all right to be us. It's all right to be one of us. It's all right to be lesbian. It's all right to be gay. It's all right to be transgender. It's all right to be bisexual. And so the police treated us as unapprehended and unconvicted criminals. It was horrible. Thank heavens you don't have to live through that. It was a you, and you, us. We were by them considered sinless offenders. We were guilty of being gay and not being heterosexual. The police still do that in some places. However, they're light years ahead of where they were 30 years ago. And so now in their presence, it's okay to be gay. Employers treated us as employable only at entry-level employment. And so we now are in the boardrooms. We are the professions. We are the politicals. We are everywhere. And so that's my message to you. We are everywhere. We are everywhere. We are everywhere. I'm the happiest old man in the world today.
That was the late Morris Kite speaking at the April 2000 Millennium March for Equality.
Hello, this is Todd Haynes, the writer-director of Bar from Heaven, and you are listening to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine.
Ruben has a premonition, the therapy sisters need a stalker, and Mary Lofstrom will do dot as we open up this month's audio file.
Tattered, tied, and tangled. Tethered to a thread in the information age. Fettered, fried, finagled. function in the information age.
New York artist Rubin starts off our first segment of 2003 with a funky blend of R&B and electronica. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile. Rubin's debut CD is called Dusk, and it touches many musical genres.
Well, I guess I'd say Dusk is just a real interesting mix of stuff. It's very singer-songwriter. So imagine if you take Stevie Wonder and then more contemporary stuff like electronica and you mix it together. It's kind of that vibe.
Take a step up a flight of stairs out of a scary hole you were pushed down into. Believe me, there is a glimmer of light after a fight. Make it a point to push on through. Your papa may be out of his head, and mama in bed. Cut your losses, let the dead bury the dead. Cause you got to rise to the occasion. What are you waiting on? What you gonna do? Do something. What you gonna do? Do something. What you gonna do?
Find out more about Rubin and his CD, Dusk, at www.rubinbuchart.com. That's www.rubenbuchart.com.
Work like you don't need the money. Love like you've never been hurt. Dance like nobody's watching. Like your mama said, you'll get no spinach if you don't finish all your dessert.
From Austin, Texas, come Maureen McLean and Lisa Rogers, who call themselves the Therapy Sisters with their fourth album entitled Sound Mind.
They give us folky political songs with a message, and they say they get as much therapy from their audiences as they give. Here's Maureen describing their strategy.
Humor cracks you up. And while you're cracked, we try to stick a little message in there before you close up again. So that's the technique that we're using. And we're also trying to be genuinely funny and not just artificially funny just to get rhetorical messages across.
From an early age, I knew I was born for greatness. A gypsy said that fame was my destiny. But fortune keeps on slipping through my fingers. And thus far fame has eluded me. If I do say so myself, I've got the talent and the looks. I've got ambition, okay, make that greed. I've got everything it takes, but I still can't seem to make it. There's just one more thing I need. I need a stalker, someone to tail me. Someone to threaten to expose me and blackmail me. I've gone about as far as I can get. My headshot isn't splashed across the tabloids yet. I'm not looking for someone to walk me home. I'm just looking for someone to stalk me.
The CD is called Sound Mind by the Therapy Sisters, and you can find out more about them at www.thetherapysisters.com.
In the hush of dawn, someone I adore waits for me. Waiting to be, wanting for we, sweet, sweet ginger, ginger.
That smoky jazz sound comes from Mary Lofstrom and her latest CD called Ginger Comes to Stay.
In this album, she displays her versatility with her songwriting and the songs she chooses, and to both she gives her own identity.
I describe my musical style as traditional vocal jazz. However, I do add that flavor of lesbian identification. I don't like to hide who I am. I don't like to obfuscate who I'm singing about if that becomes an issue. I view that as a matter of integrity.
And wait till you hear her scat.
But diddle boy, but diddle do dow. Any time of day, hear me say any time or tune. Hear me croon any time of night. Yeah, get it right. I'll do that. 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 I did that. I did that.
For more information on Mary Lofstrom and her CD, Ginger Comes to Stay, visit www.shimmeringfish.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
I'll do that, I'll do that, I'll do that. I'll do that, I'll do that, I'll do that. I'll do that, I'll do that, I'll do that. I did that. I did that.
Remember, you can get your own copy of the Audiophile 2000 Year in Review and help keep This Way Out on the air. See our website or contact us by postal or email for details. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Dean Elzinga, Graham Underhill, Jason Lynn, Chris Ambidge, Rex Walkner, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners. To find out how you can help keep This Way Out on the air and get some queer audio history and timeless music in the bargain, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening on KUNM Albuquerque, New Mexico, WEFT Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, 7THE Hobart, Tasmania, and more than 125 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now, y'all, stay tuned.